Good evening. Welcome to our podcast this Friday evening. Lord bless you for being here as we talk about remnant things. As always, I've got my son, Benji, over here, my wife, Julie, on this other side. And hopefully when we're done, we're going to be deeper into the things of the Lord. Let me just start by saying what was on my heart just as we were about to jump into this. The scripture in Peter came to me where Peter, he says something along the lines of looking for and hastening the coming of our Lord and our Savior. And I was just all of a sudden before we came on, that scripture jumped into my heart. And it got me thinking about how you have three distinct groups of Christians. You have those Christians, if you can call them Christians, maybe I'm being generous in this, but you have those Christians that are just living their lives. They in some way feel as if that they're Christian for whatever reason, and maybe they've given their heart to the Lord. I'm not going to stand and say one way or the other right now. Maybe they have, but they don't really look for anything. They're not thinking about anything. They're just living their lives. That might be the largest group. Then you have the second group, and it is those Christians that are looking for the coming of our Lord and Savior, which is certainly better than not looking for the coming of our Lord and Savior. And this group is much smaller than that first group. And praise the Lord, they're looking for the coming of our Lord and Savior. But then there's this third group, and it's the remnant group. It is the group, it is the 7,000 that's talked about with Elijah. It is that small remnant group where they're not just living their lives, and they're not just looking for the coming, they're actually hastening. They're doing things to bring it to pass. Mm. They are doing things to quicken it, to make it happen. And I know most Christians have not even considered the thought that they play a part in it, because they read the scripture where, you know, they talk about only the Father knows. Absolutely, only the Father knows when he's going to send Jesus back. But Peter made it absolutely clear that we play a part by saying you look for, which is good, but you also hasten it. You do things to make it possible to happen. And the Father knows, because he knows everything. But that doesn't do away with our responsibility to make it happen. Yes, Benji?
You know, that grouping that you mentioned reminds me of something else that you compared us to and talk about a lot. That's the tabernacle. You know, the outer courts, yes, the inner courts, yes, and the most holy good. Place.
Yeah, that's right. It's amazing how it all kind of fits together, isn't it? That's really good. And so literally, we were sitting here, we were about to hop on, and the Lord put that on my heart. And somebody said something right before we jumped on, and I said, "Stop it! Stop talking!" I forgot what I was going to say, and then the Lord brought it back to me as we got back on. For whatever reason, I felt like I need to say that. I believe that's going to minister to some people who watch this and need to understand. Don't be a part of that first group. It's better to be a part of the second group. But it certainly pleases God the most to be a part of that third group that's not just looking for, but they're hastening the coming of our Lord and Savior. That's what the remnant is all about. That's what this church, this ministry, this people is all about. And before we jump into anything else, I want to invite you. Come be a part of what God is doing here. Yes. Come see the supernatural that God is doing here. Come see how he's meeting needs. You know, there's... as we move forward in life, there are those times where needs arise. But our God has been faithful here to meet those needs.
Amen.
He's been faithful to meet those needs.
He has.
And we have to trust God that he will do it every single time. He's the promise keeper. Praise the Lord. Well, Julie, do you have anything for us to jump into other than what I've already said?
Well, first, before we do, that's amazing that you brought that up first thing. We didn't talk at all about what you were going to open those remarks you were going to open with, but out of all the thousands and thousands of scriptures and topics, you know, that we could be talking about, just yesterday, that was a focus of my prayer, my personal prayer time, was looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord. Yes. And that's just astounding praise to me, God, because there are so many scriptures and topics and things. I pray about so many different things every day. But I just remember that was a focus of my praying yesterday, was about hastening the coming of the
praise
Lord.
The
and
Lord.
That's a very specific thing.
Very specific.
As you said, a lot of us Christians, you know, don't really think about that, or, you know, consider our part that we play
right.
in that.
Amen.
So that's astounding.
Praise
that,
God.
That's meant for us to talk about today.
And, you know, God's been doing that a lot around here. People need to go watch the service from last Sunday. If you want to hear some, I don't like to use this word, but you want to hear some spooky stuff, you know, stuff that makes you go, wow. Go watch last week's Sunday service.
God is speaking.
It's incredible what God is doing here.
Speaking.
Just, I'm so grateful, thankful to the Lord. So anyway, what are we going to at least attempt to talk about today?
Well, I jotted down some scriptures, and again, you know, this, it's so interesting how this is all being put together as we sit here and converse, talking about the thing. There's a lot of things that are just on the surface, things that we read in the Word of God, that are instructional to us, that help us to cultivate our relationship with God and help us to cultivate the way that we interact with each other as Christians and try to become more like Christ. And those things are very important. But then also there are deeper things that hasten his coming, that cause us to become the remnant and to become that small group within the larger group. And so we have some scriptures, a few scriptures, and of course you may think, you know, the Lord may lay some other things on your heart, but just to let's just start with this one in Proverbs 18 that says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit."
Amen. Well, let me just say again, I know I say this every podcast, but I like to say it in case people forget or when new people are watching. We really don't talk about these things, and I tell them, come up with stuff, don't talk to me about it till we get into that room and we sit down. I said, I don't want to hear. And if you're part of the city on the hill, then you know that's the way I like to operate. If you're not, then you might not know it. But I don't like to even think about things. I don't like to think about it. I like to sit down and let the Holy Spirit do things.
Let the Holy Spirit. That's the key.
That's the way I like to minister. That's the way I like our services to be run. I don't like to plan out things, to the chagrin of many people who have oftentimes, I've been mocked many times about, you don't plan anything. And I don't like to plan things. And maybe I've gone too far the other direction, but it's the way that I need to be. I don't like to plan things. I like to sit down and then we just let the Spirit take over. So jumping into the question about our words, this is nothing new, of course, but we are raised as children with the saying, you know, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And while that's just a, I don't know. I don't know if kids even say that anymore. I don't know.
It used to be a cliche.
But you know, that's the idea of that people, a lot of people are raised with, that words are just words, that they are meaningless, and then maybe as you get to be an adult, you begin to realize that your words have a purpose and carry some weight. And as a Christian, certainly people start to understand, you know, words carry, you know, I can tell someone I love them with my words, which is, of course, a big thing that it's important. And most Christians understand, I can tell someone I love them with my words. I can tell someone I appreciate them with my words. And all of that is praise God. But that's the surface stuff that you're talking about.
Right.
If you're going to walk as a remnant person, then you have to understand that not only are words much more important than just expressing yourself to someone, because that to a Christian today, expressing yourself to someone is the most important thing. That is, there's nothing more important than expressing yourself to someone. And I'm here to tell you, there's a lot more important things than expressing yourself to someone.
Oh, yes.
Our words are, you have to consider your words as being the one thing that you have that goes into the spirit world.
Right, yes. Right.
You can't walk into the spirit world. If you can, then I want you to come to the church here, and I want you to show me that you can walk into the spirit world. Come show me, because I'm going to laugh you out of the building, because you can't.
I want to meet that person.
Because you can't do that. It's... You can't walk into the spirit world. I want to see the person that can pick up a sword and start swinging the sword and slice up a demon. You're not going to do that. The sword of the spirit we talk about, but what is the sword of the spirit?
The word of God.
The word of God. You see, you have to understand that your words are what goes into the spirit world. And if you don't understand that, then you not only are not going to be a remnant Christian, you're living so far beneath what God has for you. And if you don't understand that your words are spirit, then you're not going to, not only are you not going to be able to defeat the devil in your life, not only are you going to not be able to use the victory that Christ gave you in your life over the devil, but you're not going to receive the blessings that God has for you that require for you to confess and speak things into your life.
Add this to the verse that says that you will be judged for every idle word.
And that, you see, people wonder why is that the case? Why does the Bible speak so harshly about how we use our words? That is because from God's perspective, from the spirit world perspective, the spirit world understands how important our words are. The spirit world understands that when you say something, even that you deem meaningless, that it has consequences in the spirit world. And I shudder to think of how many things are in people's lives or not in people's lives that are good, because of the words that they use, because of the negativity. We've talked about this before, you and I. We've talked about that it's hard for us to be around people that always start off with a negative bent to things, because we just shudder in our spirits. Like, do they not understand? Do they not understand what they're doing? And I know good people that are suffering with things, even in their bodies, because they've not understood that even in the middle of pain, even in the middle of hardship, you have to confess the word of God.
Amen.
You have to do it. And eventually, God will use that as a seed, as a sword, as whatever he needs to bring victory in people's lives. But you can't start confessing things after it happens. You confess it before it happens. Yes. That's what faith is all about. And, you know, talking about faith, the word of God says, it talks about faith without works is dead. And that's the way people live. They say, well, I've got faith in my heart. I've got faith and I can feel the faith. Don't tell me I don't have faith. I can feel it, but I'm still not getting results. But that's what that scripture is saying. Yeah, you have faith. There's a lot of Christians. They've got faith, but it's dead. It's dead. You're right when you say you have faith, but it's dead faith because you're not using the tools that God has given us. And one of those tools is our words, to confess what is in your heart, to speak it in the middle of the enemy of doing what he does. You've got to be able to confess the word of God. And you say, but what if I don't see it? Don't worry about if you don't see it. You keep confessing it until you do see it. The Bible says ask, and it says keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. Well, you got to keep confessing and using and speaking the word of God. And I feel like I'm not even getting across, even with all of that, the importance of our words. Our words are what goes into the spirit world. And you say, well, I'm not speaking into the spirit world. Let me just tell you something. Yes, you are. Whether you know it or not, you are speaking into the spirit world. You are speaking things every second of every day that you are talking, whether you know it or not. You're
right.
Speaking it.
Right.
You're speaking life, or you're speaking death to yourself. Yes, Ben.
And you know, on the flip side of all that, the devil will try to find any way that he can to convince you to twist your own words into thinking that you may be saying something that's good, saying something that can be projecting something positive. But they, like Dad said, every word projects into the spirit world. And even if you're doing things like joking about negative things like death and destruction and stuff like that, if you think that you're putting a
that's
positive
really good, yes.
and joking spin on things like that, that's still projecting negativity. And we didn't even talk about, you know, profane language and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I remember reading that they're called curse words for a reason.
That's
it's releasing
right.
curses into the air. I remember recently even hearing my dad say to one of us, I can't remember who it was, when we said something that he didn't like, he said, don't release that into the air.
Yeah.
Like, I've thought about that, you know, releasing, what words are you releasing into the air? Are you releasing a curse into the air? Are you releasing something positive into the air? What do you not realize you're releasing into the air when you speak? And the devil likes to try to manipulate that.
That's true. And, you know, I know if you're watching this, then the chances are you're a Christian if you're watching this. Mm-hmm. And I know that most Christians are going to sit there and say, well, I know that my words are important, but I don't think you understand how important
they are.
That's
what I mean by the surface.
Yes.
You
yes,
don't
yes.
understand how important. Yet, and that's why I said you can say to somebody, oh, I love you, or I appreciate you. Or, boy, you look handsome, or you look beautiful today, or whatever it is. And those are good things. And I would not tell you not to do those things. But as you hear me say here all the time, we never want the good to get in the way of the supernatural. Don't use the good and think that you've done enough. We're here for the supernatural. And the supernatural dictates that our words are more important than just a surface appreciation for somebody. Praise God. Go tell someone you love them. Go tell 1,000 people you love them. Praise God. That's fantastic. But I'm telling you, there's more and deeper things than just a human appreciation for somebody. There are levels that our words get to that we don't see. And so many times we have circumstances in our lives that we say, where did this come from? But it's because at some point we planted words, word seeds that eventually brought a harvest of negative and destruction in our lives. And so I want to encourage you immediately, if you are serious about being a remnant Christian, then you have to immediately say, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me. Father, by your Spirit, help me to guard my tongue.
Yes.
Help me to keep my tongue from speaking anything that is evil. And when I say evil, I don't mean evil just by what humans think evil. I mean by what God considers evil, by what God considers negative. God is a God of life. And I know Christians go all around saying, well, God is a God of love. God is a God of life. But do you understand what that means? That means that God doesn't, he requires that we don't speak negative things, that we don't use our words for illicit purposes, that we don't use our words, you know, it's amazing how the devil tries to pull Christians into things. You'll see a group of people standing there and you know, they'll be talking about all their, listen, I know that you've seen this. They'll be talking about all their medical stuff. Well, this person will say they've got this issue. Another one will say, well, I could top that. I've got this issue. And then the next person will say something even. And then they try to pull you in. Oh, well, what do you have going on? Or what doctor did you see? Do you know any good, anyone give me advice on who I should go see? Listen, let's talk about godly things. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about healings. Let's talk about miracles. Let's talk about that God heals all our diseases. Let's do that.
Yes.
Let's start there. And of course, there's much, much more, but let's start with those types of things. And so, again, I hope that if you think that your words are important, praise God. But I hope you leave this conversation with understanding that they're more important than you understand because of what you don't see.
Yes.
What you see, the Bible says what is seen is temporary, but what you don't see is eternal. And I just have this sneaky suspicion that people are going to go into eternity, and there's going to be a giant pile of words there. And God's going to say, these are the words that you shouldn't have said. And you say, well, that's ridiculous. Benji said the scripture, though, did he not? We shall be judged for what?
Every
idle word. So again, just people don't like it when I start talking like this. They don't like it. They say that's too heavy. But I speak what's in the Word of God, and I hope that this touches your heart.
Can I cap it off with Please. Malachi 3?
Yes.
As you were talking, it was brought to my mind of the scripture that says the people who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and a book of remembrance. God wrote a book of remembrance.
It doesn't say they spoke. It says they spoke often.
Yes.
It says
yes.
They spoke often to one another.
Yes.
That's an encouragement from the Lord. They spoke often to one another.
Did you know, just like four verses before that, God said the antithesis of that. He said, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord.
Yeah.
Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You know, and then he goes on to enumerate what was the words were spoken, but God cares about the words, and they have eternal import.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a good subject. Well, we'll move on to the next subject that you have. Give us another one to talk on.
Yes.
To see if the Lord will give us as much as he did about that one. Praise God.
Well, the next one that I, you know, have mentioned, you know, I wrote down was a scripture that I think about a lot because we are meant to be overcomers. And there's a verse in the Revelation that talks about how they overcame. It says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and by loving not their lives even unto the death. And that, you know, that can sound a little mysterious, but also, you know, it's easy to kind of gloss over that. So what would you have to say about that?
Well, I'm kind of going to take the opposite approach with this scripture as I did the last one, because what you just said, people, you take that scripture and they kind of put it in this spiritual place as if it really doesn't matter to us. Well, that's some spooky revelation thing that really doesn't have a place in our daily lives. But when you read the Word of God, you have to be able to understand the principles of why something is written in the Word of God, and that is not just some ethereal thing hanging up here. There's this group of heavenly host people, and this is, you know, what revel. No, that has a direct effect on how on how we live. So go ahead. What's the first one that it says that they did? The first thing that they did was
they overcame by the blood of the Lamb.
You know, we don't. I say this all the time when I'm ministering, and I'm going to bring it here. But most of what's written in the Word of God is written in legal language. It's written in the language of a courtroom. It's written in the language of a court case, and as God as judge. And through the blood of the Lamb, if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are immediately and totally deemed righteous in the court's eyes. Now, as you are deemed righteous as a judicial in a judicial way, you are deemed righteous so that you can then begin to go live holy, so that you can then begin to do what you're supposed to do, go climb the mountain. You're supposed to go climb the mountain. Jesus is the door, but then you go through the door, and that's where the pasture is. You get to work. You get to work for God. You are deemed righteous. We don't understand, though. We have Christians today, they throw around terms. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, I've been washed in the blood. But one of the reasons this is one of the three things that it puts here is because it is trying to get us to understand the power of what the blood of Jesus has done for us. Mm-hmm. It has made us a new creation. And we choose to live like the old creation. The devil has a plan, and his plan is, I'm going to take Christians and I'm going to make them not to understand what the blood of Jesus did for them. Right. And I'm going to make them to live their old self, their old way. And when this says they overcame him through the blood, that is because that was a group of people that understood that the blood of Jesus made them new and made them the seed of Abraham. Yes. And again, I could go off all kind of tributaries with this. But when you are washed in the blood, you are made the seed of Abraham. And the Bible says that you are Christ, if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs. Mm. You are the heirs of the greatest inheritance that mankind has or ever will know. You are heirs. And if you understand what the blood of Jesus did for you, then you understand that you now have an inheritance, a supernatural inheritance that gives you the power to defeat the enemy, the power to walk in the supernatural. You now have power and authority, and it's all because of the blood of the Lamb. But if you don't understand what that blood did for you, and you don't understand what you're supposed to do after you're washed in the blood, then that scripture is meaningless to you. It's just a poetic scripture. Oh, they overcame him through the blood of the Lamb. And you might write a song about it. But if you understand in practicality what the blood did for you and what it means as to how you're supposed to live, you were washed in the blood and made righteous so that you can then go live holy. If you understand that, then you're on your way to becoming a supernatural person, defeating the works of darkness. What was the second one?
By the word of their testimony, which we pretty much covered in the first part of this.
Well, that's the thing, is that. But let me just highlight this part of it. Again, notice it is a legal thing. The word of their testimony. We don't understand. Again, in the spirit world, everything is settled in a legal way. We don't like to use the word law. In today's church, we've thrown the word law out. Just because we don't live by the law of Moses doesn't mean that there's not a law in heaven.
Right.
I could talk on that for days. But there's still a law in heaven. There still is a law that governs your life. You might not know it. You might not see it. You might not understand it. But there still is a law. And if you don't understand how the law of God governs your life, then you're not going to receive the blessings of the law.
And it does not change, and it has not ever changed. It's how God's operated since the beginning God of has creation.
Because the Bible says God does not change. The law he set in motion at creation has never changed.
Yes.
There have been other avenues of that law that maybe have been fulfilled. But the law of God is still stands forever. And so, again, we've talked about words, so I don't want to get into that again. But I do want to say that is a legal term. And according to the spirit world, that your words can be used for you or used against you. Hmm. And so when they overcame, it was because they understood how powerful their word of their testimony, how powerful it was. What's the third one?
And loving not your lives even unto death.
And you know, listen,
I think that's the least understood one.
Here's what we need to understand. We know, I'm going to kind of hit this in a roundabout way to get to where I'm going. We know that eternity is much more than what we're living on this earth right now.
Yes.
And so with that being a baseline for who we are as Christians, the baseline is we understand that this is temporary.
Right.
We understand that this is, now I preach all the time, God wants you completely healthy. He wants you to be blessed, even in your finances. He wants everything good in your lives, but that doesn't change the fact that this is temporary. But God is looking for a remnant people that understand and desire to begin to walk in the supernatural now, mm-hmm. to walk in the eternal right now. You say, well, that's not true. Then why did Paul say we do not look at what is seen, we look at what is unseen?
Yes.
Because the unseen is eternal. Why do you say we walk in that? He said it because God desires to find a people that want to walk in the eternal. Yes. Right now. And you say, yeah, but don't you know you're no good to people if you're walking in the eternal? And I would say to you, no, you're no good to people if you're not walking in the eternal.
Right, right. We're eternal people doing eternal things.
You are a spirit person. You are a spirit person. And the devil so wants to highlight your flesh that you forget that you're a spirit person. And so we don't walk in the supernatural because we neglect that we are spirit people. And everything else is temporary. And I say that because that's the principle set in that scripture. Is that God is looking for a group of people that understand that what they see, their life that they see is temporary. It's not eternal. They understand, Lord, we don't love our lives. We want to be healthy. We want to be blessed. But we don't love our lives to the point, Lord God, that we neglect the spirit world, that we neglect the supernatural. Lord, we surrender everything. Lord, we give up everything. Lord, we desire nothing except that which is eternal.
Right.
Everything else, you provide for us. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be what? Given to you.
Yes.
God says, yeah, I'm going to take care. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8 said, even your mortal bodies will be quickened unto life. But it's because God finds a people that doesn't care. They don't care about it. They don't love their lives unto death. They don't embrace their flesh, their person, their who they don't embrace it. They embrace the supernatural. They embrace the eternal. They say, God, this doesn't, it's not that it doesn't matter, but it's less. It's less. And God, we understand that it's less. And we don't love it. We don't seek it. We don't embrace it. We embrace the eternal. We embrace the supernatural. We don't love our lives, Lord God, unto death. We love you and the pursuit of you and your supernatural. Lord, that's what we're going after. And so, listen, whether you want to insert in that people losing their lives and going into eternity, I that might be for a discussion for another time. But what I just said is something that every person listening to me can grab a hold of. And to say, Lord, I want to be able to do those three things. I want to be able to say, I don't embrace my flesh. Lord, I release my flesh. I don't embrace my mental, my mind. I release my mind because I want to walk in the things of the Spirit. I want to walk in the things of the supernatural. I don't hang on to those things. I don't hang on to those things. Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven. You lay up treasures in heaven because you know this is temporary. It's temporary. And I'm so trying. This is our season here at the City on the Hill for our sacred assembly, which I'm not going to get into on the podcast here. But I so want this group of people to begin to understand there's no reason not to surrender everything because it's temporary. Mm-hmm. It's temporary. And do we not think that God can and will heal us, can and will prosper us, can and will protect us? He can and he will. He will. But he's looking for people to say, we surrender. We don't love that which is of the flesh. We don't love it. Praise the Lord.
I hope this doesn't sound like it's getting off topic because it really does go well with what you said about surrendering, in particular your mind. When it comes to things going on in your mind, you know, mental, people love to talk about mental nowadays. If you're not surrendering it to the spiritual, you're not surrendering it to God, like Dad said, that's how you are looking in the flesh for, like, diagnoses of what's going on in your mind, diagnoses of mental stuff, and that causes you to surrender your mind to doctors and stuff like that. That's where surrendering to the Spirit is that much more important, because one act of physical, one act of relying on physical, the devil wants to make it lead to another.
That's right. And the devil wants us to think that what's in our minds is the end of what we think or don't think, what we feel or don't feel. But there's a spirit world behind that makes what you think seem
very minuscule.
Minuscule. That's what we want to tap into.
Yes.
That's who we want to be. And it comes because those three things that she read.
Yes.
It comes because you do those three things. Well, praise the Lord. I'm sure Julie has several more, but I'm going to cut it off there because I feel like we've hit our limit for today. Praise the Lord. So, Benji, give everybody our service times.
Absolutely. We got our regular Sunday morning 11 a.m. services, our regular Wednesday night 7 p.m. services here in person at the City on a Hill Church in Loganville, and they're also available on all our online social platforms that include Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We got something going on every day. Like we always say, we got our devotions on Monday, Thursday, and Saturdays at 8 p.m. on our online platforms. My Remnant 101s come out on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on our online platforms. Our podcasts come out every Friday evening at 8 p.m. on all our online platforms. Please make sure to follow us on our online platforms and check out our podcasts on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Siri and Alexa can play your Spotify in the very simplest ways. And like Dad said earlier, please come visit us because we want you to witness the supernatural things that are happening here.
Well, let me just end by going back and ending with something about our words. Growing up, of course, my children are adults now, but growing up, I would be punishing as you're supposed to. punish your children. And I would punish them, and Benji would tell you that we did. But we would punish our children, and I would be delivering to them the consequences of what they did, or the potential consequence, saying, you know, this and this and this, this is what God is looking for. This is what could happen if you don't do what God is looking for. And they learned to use my words against me. Because they would always say, Dad, don't say that. Don't put that into the air. Don't put that punishment into the air. We don't want that out there. And I can only sit there and just laugh and think we did such a good job of teaching them about how important their words are that they're using against me, not wanting me to speak the punishment into the air.
Sam just turned 3 years old and she's already starting down that path.
Yeah, so listen, words are important. Words are important. Praise God. Remember, they're how we get into the spirit world. Well, the Lord bless you. We'll see you here same time next week. God bless you.